This is KC2ZMA, listening on 955.
I'm a K, so I would check it ahead of him. Hi.
But I have a bad habit of asking for the whiskeys before the kilos, but that's all right. All right, very good. Any other kilos?
K9 GTM, no questions or comments at this time.
Good evening, Sean. Welcome aboard. All right, any other kilos?
KD2, CRB, Sue. Checking in. This is
comment. Very good, Sue. No problem. Got you in there with your comment registered. All right, any other kilos?
KC2, UNH, mobile. Paul, no comments, no questions.
Very good, Paul. Welcome aboard. Any other kilos? Ready? How about Whiskey Station?
Whiskey 2, Charlie Hotel, good evening, Ray and White Plains, the K2BAR, none of the above.
Gotcha. Other Whiskey
2. W2JEK, done.
up.
I don't know right at this time.
Roger that. Okay, very good. Any other witnesses?
WE2R, Charlie, no questions or comments.
Charlie, thank you. All right, any other
Whiskey 2, Lima, Charlie, November. Name is Rick, with no questions, no comments.
Okay, Rick, very fine. All right, anybody else?
November 1, STU, no comments at all, but boy, you coming in scratchy, I just about can hear you. Back to net.
Yeah, I'll work on that. Hopefully that's a bit better. All right, very good. I'll be getting better in a moment right after the roll call. All right, any other stations, any call signs?
K2ZC, Dave, no questions, no comments.
Dave, nice hearing you. We haven't heard from you in a long time. Welcome aboard. We might ask you a question about what you've been doing the last couple of months in the way of kit building and operating and some of your operating adventures last year. That might be kind of an interesting topic. All righty. Any other stations we should check in?
Into JEK, we'll be having a comment.
Outstanding. Thank you, Donald. Anybody else? All righty. Let's start this off briefly. 82 CRV, Stu, over to you. CCAR.
Okay, CRV. That's all. I'm just tucking away with my little project.
Out of the repeater about 90% of that transmission. We didn't get any of that. I'm really sorry. Change your position in your power level.
Let me see if I can work on that. Back to net.
Well, whatever you did that transmission, that's your prior to it. All right, here you go. Yeah. Let me try again.
Just moved to another location in my room. So back to net.
Okay, very good. Well, that was much better. All right. That was your goal, and you met it. Anybody have any thoughts for Stu regarding the signal? All right, Stu, very good. Well, thank you for checking in tonight. All right, W2JEK is all yours.
K2BAR, net W2JEK, comment on last week. I mentioned I was having a problem with the rig, and the thing finally died on me. That what was happening, the pilot lamp on the back of the meter would go out, and the LCD display would turn off at me. Finally, the thing died completely last Saturday and wound up pulling the thing apart. Found a dead electrolytic capacitor, 9-volt power bus, if you want to call it that. The 13-volt comes into this radio. Some of it goes into where the 13 volts goes. Some goes to a 5-volt regulator for some of the some of the parts, and some of the other parts get fed by a 9-volt 7809 type regulator. And open the top up, looking good. Well, what am I going to do? And so there was maybe looking for a paper clip or something fell into here. So it did not. So then I opened up the bottom. Let me drop it a second. Opened up the bottom and looking at all the capacitors and all these little electrolytic capacitors were all in a yellow plastic case, except one. That was brown. And I said, uh-oh, what's this? So I looked. Saw what it was on the diagram. It was right after the 9 volts comes out of the regulator. There sits this capacitor on the schematic. So, and I read a short across the thing. So I pulled it out, put in another with the 10 microfarad with 16 working volts, put in a 10 microfarad at 35 working volts, and they showed that the 7809 regulator was working properly, and then put the thing back together, and it's on the air now. So that's my story. Back to net, W2JK.
Okay, very good, Don. Thank you. Anybody have any other questions for Don? Okay, very good. All right, so my announcement is that on, I believe it's Friday the 28th of September, we'll have a one-day review course of technician class license. It will start at about 8 in the morning at the basement of St. John Evangelist Church in Burgenfield, and we'll have a test session that evening around 7. If you have any questions, please email me at w2tangotangotango@awrl.net or att.net for that matter. Alrighty, our next person is, I forgot what his name is. Oh, Lord. We have somebody who wants to jump in with something, so let's take care of that first. I'm drawing a blank here, folks, but we have a person readily raised their hand to say that I wanted to say something earlier.
Connected K6JTT.
Yeah, K6JTT. All right. I thought we had somebody else on the line.
W2CH, comment.
Ed Ray.
Well, things sounded pretty dead when I was on most of Saturday in the afternoon. I was talking to WR2I in NIAC. He heard me calling. We both worked the station. I think it was an N7 or so. Couldn't work anybody else. It was a bit better Sunday. I got down to Mexico. Another station I know did work, one that was pretty active from Nicaragua, YN station, and I heard some foreign ones that go by their serial numbers had quite a few contacts, but didn't seem like conditions were too great for most of it from here, from what we saw. So that's my comment. Didn't really do a lot compared to how the band was the last 2 years earlier in the season, 10, 12. Those bands were so great back in October.
Okay, how about anybody else?
2JK.
Bad John?
Okay, well, as I mentioned before, my rig died. I got into the contest, and after four QSOs, the thing died. The bands weren't popping. They should have, you know, expected, but the contest on people, there would be some propagations here or there, that, but not hardly any. I mean, it was from very spotty from what I heard. I worked one fellow, the first contact I had was a local in New York. I was on 10 meters. Finally, I called somebody. I called a CQ, and I got a fellow in Africa. And then later on, I went on. I called two stations out in California, and that was it. And my rig died. And that was off the air. I was talking to Phil WA2RXE, and he had, I forget how many contacts he had, but he said the conditions were really crummy, very spotty conditions. I worked out a bunch of stations in Argentina, of all places, but it was not like the good old-fashioned 10 meters that we knew years ago. Well, the conditions just weren't great. So that's about all I can add to the information. Back to that, W2JK.
Okay, very good. Well, this should be a better signal from me at this point. Very, very good. Kind of curious, anybody else have any comments about the 10-meter contest?
Okay, 2ZC.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we worked it. I didn't really know what to expect. It was my first 10-meter contest. I hadn't been in HF long enough to know what it was like during the last solar cycle, so I've worked 10 meters on some of the RIDI contests, but they were all bands, not just limited to 10 meters, so I didn't really know what to expect. I worked, I think, 11 hours total, and I got 241 QSOs, 72 multipliers. I think out of that, that was 37 sections in 35 countries. Got about a little shy of 70,000 points. I don't know how that matches up, but I was looking at some of the past contests in the ARRL, and the scores were a heck of a lot higher than that for last year, I know. So I didn't know what to expect or if this was bad or good compared to from what I see, it was a lot worse conditions this year than it was last year, so I don't know how I'm going to do as far as that goes. I'm 3830. I was operating assisted, so I was using clusters, and I was in CW mode, and I had to enter as a multi-op because I was operating assisted. But I was running low power. I couldn't run my amplifier because I'm 10 meters. I get too much RF, and it blows up my computer. Not literally, but it'll make it crash. So that's about it for me. This is K2ZC.
Very good, Dave. Again, how many Qs and how many sections?
241 QSOs, 72 multipliers. The multipliers are a combination of U.S., Canada, and Mexico sections. And individual entities, countries. So it was 35 countries and 37 sections.
Guys in the sweepstakes would like to have scores like that. Not bad. Not bad at all. Well, very good. Anybody else?
K6JTT.
Go ahead. Coming in, go ahead.
Kilo 6, Julia Tango Tango. Good evening.
Nestor, welcome aboard. I'm trying to wonder when you were chicken. Did you operate the 10-meter contact?
Yes, we did with the local radio club in here. And I thought we were good with about 10,000 points, but never mind. We only operate on Sunday. We did Sunday morning until the propagation was done about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, local time. So I don't remember how many contacts we did, but we did about 10,000 points. So I thought we were doing good, but never mind. With the comment from the station before me, I guess we did terrible. Back to you, K6JTT, California.
Well, don't be surprised. Send in your logs because, you know, you have a different, you know, you're in a different section, and you have a totally different geography and what's available to you. So even operating just in the morning, you might find yourself with a really good score compared to other people in your area. So don't be too critical.
Oh, no, we did. We did send all the information right away after we finished with the contacts. We sent the information right away to the ARRL, so that's about it. K6JTT. Thank you, Gordon.
K2Z6.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, you have to consider I also operated multi-op, and I was using CW Skimmer, so I was able to pick out the multipliers right off my band map as soon as they popped on the air. So, unless this other gentleman was operating multi-op and using clusters too, you know, it's like a whole different contest. It's like I'm cheating, really. I did the sweepstakes last month, and I only had 113 QSOs, but I got a clean sweep because I was using the clusters, you know. It was showing me where all the multipliers were. So I was just going after multipliers right away. So I got a clean sweep with only 113 QSO.
Very good. See? So, Nestor, you know, there's something to be said for that. And CW Skimmer, you know, let's take a standby here for a second. Dave, would you describe how CW Skimmer works, what you use to set it up, and what it does for you, and how easy or hard it is to use?
Well, it's not too hard to use. I tried setting it up with, you know, an analog radio or the ICOM, and it only gives you a 3 kilohertz bandwidth, which I found kind of difficult to operate. But this time I had it set up with the Flex 1500 as my receiver, and that would give me, I'd be able to see 48 kilohertz of bandwidth all at once. And CW Skimmer could read every station I could hear within that 48 kilohertz, and that would populate my band map on N1MM, my contest program. And I was transmitting using my ICOM 746 Pro. I was using a homebrew TR switch, and I'd receive on the Flex and transmit on the ICOM. And as soon as my band map would only be populated with stations that I could hear. I didn't use any clusters for that. Whatever CW Skimmer read that was coming into my antenna,
whatever it could decipher as a complete call, it would send to my band map. And that way you got correct call, as long as it was a strong enough signal. And it would also tell me how many words a minute they were sending at, and the signal strength of the signal. And if it was a new multiplier, it would pop up in red. So I could jump from one end of the band to the other as soon as a multiplier popped up, and I might be the first person that answers their Q cell. So I mean their CQ. So CW skimmer is quite an advantage, and that's why they make anyone using it has to answer as a multi-op. I couldn't answer as a single-op CW. Back to net.
Yeah, I think they should just have, you know, an automated assist category as opposed to multi-op. Multi-op is a whole different thing, but anyway, it is what it is. It sounds like fun. Anybody have any questions for Dave about his use of CW Skimmer? Not to mention his really fancy schmancy 1500 receiver, a Flex 1500 receiver and a Pro 746 Pro transmitter, a homebrew TR switching. That's kind of cute. Very nicely done. Anybody have any questions for Don about it? Dave, I'm sorry. Thank you, Dave. That was informative. Certainly opened my eyes. I will actually have a 1500 at my disposal if I don't have the 5000 at my disposal continuously now from here on out, which will be kind of neat, actually. Alrighty. Anybody else with things they want to talk about? Okay. Well, I guess nobody had a comment. Let's see. Anybody else have any other 10-meter activity? Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. That was good. Any other subjects people would like to bring up? Just want to remind everybody we're going to run a technician class on Friday the 28th. Of December in Bergenfield, as we've been running the last few years, traditional Christmas to New Year time frame. So if anyone's interested in getting their license, put them onto us. So they should study in advance, but we'll be doing that. Hopefully we'll get some interest in participants over. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, you were saying something about advanced specialties. You were very, I just got one or two words. Somebody was sick or something over there. I didn't get all of that.
There's nobody else here, but okay. I was just saying that we're going to have a course and an exam on Friday the 28th here in Bergenfield. If anyone's interested in the technician class.
No, it's just before that, when you were noisy, when you were outside or whatever you were doing, you said something about advanced specialties. Advanced specialties, had somebody was sick or had surgery or something, but I didn't catch all of that, over.
Yeah, one of John's family members had some surgery, and, they require an occasional bit of doctoring, so he's having to take care of that. Occasionally, so if you're going to go down there, I would just make a quick call before you shoot down there on a given day. He'll be open every day, but it's all good.
All right, well, good. Hopefully everybody, whoever it was, will recover quickly then. It'll be a hardship sometimes. All right, very good, good. Okay, I'll be talking to you about the test session later on. Back to
that W2JK. Hey, Don, very good. Alrighty. Let's see, what else do we have going here? Upcoming topics. The January VHF is coming to a theater near you. That should be very exciting. I think it's the is it the second or third weekend in January this year. But we normally operate from home, sometimes from K2AMI's house. So consider getting on for that too. That's a whole lot of fun.
KC2ZFM Mobile, the delay check-in.
That's true, actually. I was just thinking, Nancy's reminding me that Tony had a chimney incident, so my guess is that may not happen. KC2ZFM, go right ahead, check in. There might be somebody else on your heels. Go ahead first.
This is KC2ZFM. Good evening, gentlemen. Ladies, that's if you're on here. And so it is a late check-in for me. I just wanted to let everyone know that I had a very interesting, since I had another radio group get a chuckle out of my idea for an antenna launcher, and I found it to be quite successful. And it's back to net.
We are connoisseurs of odd antenna launchers, so we'd like you to talk about it a little bit. But first, let me just see, was there another check-in? Go ahead, ZFM, go ahead. And by the way, I forgot your name.
That's okay, Gordon. The name is Bob. When my township was nice enough to come in and canopy the trees in front of the house, they cut my HF antenna support rope out of the tree, so I had to relaunch it. And when I was looking around, I thought about it, and I said, oh, I have a paintball gun. So I grabbed the paintball gun, deboed it with a cotton ball, and a three-quarter ounce sinker weight, along with a fishing reel. My first shot didn't go as like I planned, but it went up about 70 feet in the tree, but it hung up. And then my second shot is about 45 feet, but I'll be playing more with that on Sunday, over the weekend, when I can actually see what I'm doing instead of doing it in the darkness of 6 o'clock. Back to the net.
That's very novel. A cotton ball wrapped around a three-quarter ounce sinker weight. How marvelous is that? And you tethered it to what?
I had it tethered with a 25-pound test monofilament fishing line. I actually just picked up a reel tonight for it, so I'm going to hopefully have a better shot over the weekend. But I had the fishing line coiled on the ground, so I had about 85 feet of the fishing line on the ground.
Very good. Yeah, a reel will be a big improvement. I think it's the first time I've ever seen that. I'm wondering if that kind of should we say discharge would get you in other kinds of trouble in certain jurisdictions. Double with somebody else. I think we got the gist of it, but we can find out who the other station was, but them transmits, then you can transmit. Who was the other station?
That was me that doubled with Don, KT2ZFM. Yeah, it's, well, I would hope that being a paintball, being paintball and, not having the look of a regular pistol would have, something would keep them from, plus it helps when you know your neighbors.
I would have police officers on my front door if I discharged a paintball gun in my backyard. And my one neighbor in particular got a wind of that. Go ahead, Don. W2JEK, W2TTT. Go ahead, Don.
This is W2JEK, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Like I said, he used the... The cotton as a packing, so they get more better velocity out of the fishing sinker. I don't know just what the status of those things are. I know for an air pistol, somebody would use for target shooting, or an air rifle, that's considered a firearm by the state of New Jersey laws. But I don't know if that carries over into the paintball gun. Other kinds of things too. There are things that they use on ships called a line throwing gun, which is a sort of an overkill thing, I think, for what we want to do. I mean, you're talking about getting a line from one ship to another in a stormy sea so that they can run the beaches buoy over to get the people off the sinking ship, kind of a thing. That's a whole different bag of worms. As long as it gets that or the potato guns that some of the people have, it gets the vine over, that's what counts. Some people have flown kites around and figured a way to make the kite crash after a certain point and get the vine over that way. There's all kinds of tricks. Whatever works, I guess, is what's most convenient for you. Anyway, back to that. W2JK.
Okay. Yeah, it's good advice. I believe in New Jersey... You can't discharge a paintball gun in most municipalities, except on an entirely closed environment, your basement. I think there's all sorts of rules about that. You can't shoot them outdoors. People get all excited, want to micromanage you because... People apparently have been known to misbehave with them. I remember one kid years ago, he had the misfortune of discharging one or more times, it's unclear to my memory, from a moving vehicle, and that got him some negative attention of some indeterminate amount, I don't know what, but both to say he didn't become the poster child for civic of the citizen of a month. Anyway, it's a fascinating way to launch a line, Bob. The preferred method by a lot of people here are to use either tennis balls or wooden ballistas, dowels, with a fishing line attached to it, with compressed air. That seems to be the preferred method. And I'll be honest, that can get you in just about as much trouble, but... because they tend to, especially the ones that launch the balls, it's relatively harmless. Although Noel has some pretty funny stories as to how far you can send the tennis ball. In any case, that's all good. Any other comments from anybody?
KD2, CRB, Stu with a question.
That's Stu.
Yeah, are there any general classes that are going to be held in the future? Just curious. Over.
There was one series recently, about too many months ago, maybe at the Red Cross in Fairfield. I think they're going to do one again. I'll make a point of finding out and get back to you on that. I know they have a meeting on Monday, but I can email the Red Cross email list and find out what the plan is, at least of now.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great. That's enough.
How's your new J-Pole working?
Finally got over to KGI for Gene. Got 25 foot coaxial. So it's just a matter. I'm gonna have a little Christmas break, and I'm going to sit down, throw it all together, get it back to the attic, and hopefully in a few days, in a week or so, be able to test it out. That's enough.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest, I'm looking forward to your having it. Your signal will be much more consistent. All right. Very good, though. I'm pretty excited for you to get the coax, get it installed during the break, and you'll be all good. Anybody else have any questions, comments, confusions?
AC2, you on here?
Hey, Paul.
Just a quick one. I can remember you were saying you were playing about with Windows 8. Just wonder where you got with that, because a lot of friends that I have are actually bailing out of it and heading back down to Windows 7.
I find it to be very stable. It runs all my applications. The GUI is driving me crazy. I'll be honest. That is the big deal. I've been tempted to bail out of it, but I haven't used it enough to convince me that I've given it enough muscle memory and enough, time to really understand how it's supposed to work. There are things that are just different about how you access things. And so I think I want to give it a little more time. I've got a spare machine that I can run it on, so it's okay. But worst comes to worst, yeah, I'll back it out to Windows 7 as well.
Yeah, the two big complaints that I got on it was one, that it just seemed to be single-threaded, as in only one thing going at a time. And the second was that it seems to be geared very nicely towards the new Surface tablet, so if you've got a touchscreen, then, you know, you'll really see the benefit on that side of it. But in general use, if you're not, and just running off a standard PC with a mouse, it's actually a big step back.
Well, I haven't really tried to determine whether it's single-threaded, but I don't think so. Does it have that appearance of being single-threaded, but not really?
That's what I seem to be getting. I don't know if it's the underlying OS or it's just the focus. But a lot of it would be a case of, it's sort of like the difference between a Mac and an iPad, where they put like an iPad operating system, which is very touch and feel, you're only doing one thing really at a time, onto a Mac, and it's just not working.
And that could be. I will make a point of testing for that, and I have some things that are definitely, capable of doing real-time things, and if they don't have focus and they don't do those real-time things, I will be the first to know.
W2CA.
Go ahead.
Well, I installed it about a month ago, and on my Windows 7 computer that's about 3 years old, which came with Windows 7, and I put in apps, but of course it's not a touch screen, so I agree about that. I don't know so much about the thread part or anything, but I've sometimes had the page itself go black, and I have to back out of my, say, Internet Explorer, which is 10 here, and some things are faster. It does shut on and off quicker. But I lost my virtual XP, which I had with Windows Pro 7. Now, this was the Pro, you know, for $70 I bought the disk. With the 64-bit, this is still a fairly modern machine, even from a few years ago, dual core and stuff. And it also took away from my printer the fax part. When you go to scan, when you go to that, it doesn't come up, and some error seems to come when I restart, which still works in my netbook computer that's still on Windows 7. So I don't know, but those are a couple of things I've encountered with 8.
All right, that was pretty comprehensive. Thank you. It does print, but I only have a printer on it. I don't have a scanner and other goodies, so I should probably look into that. So the device driver may be for a limited functionality, or you may have to install the functions separately. Would that be the case?
Well, I was thinking that maybe a driver changed, or I have to reinstall it or something. I haven't tried yet. And there's something relating to the fax that comes up, but when the window comes up when you want to scan, it's an Epson 835 printer. It shows a couple olders, but the 835's been removed. But I'm talking about the scan part. The printing works fine. Nothing changed there. And most programs were okay. When you install it, which took me about 2 hours, there's first that scan you do, you know, to see what's compatible, and you don't have to, like, if you're doing from XP, have to reinstall everything. It did carry over most everything, but those were a couple of things. Also, I was having a problem with that computer before. Internet Explorer has encountered a problem and or stop working at the close reopening. It's still doing it with Windows 8, but I don't know. I did a PC clean, you know, to get rid of errors and things like that, and I still get that while on my netbook with Starter 7, which I didn't go to 32-bit 8. I'm not even sure if the netbook would be capable of the Windows 8, so I didn't try it on there. And another thing that's different, if you want to paste, you know, if you want to go in to go to Notepad to copy something that won't print, you have to do it all, then do copy. When I was in Windows 7 and before, you could just highlight the lines that come in blue, go copy at the end of the line, and then go into netbook. It's somehow different with 8.
Interesting. Okay. Anybody else have any observations similar to this or at odds with this? Okay, so you've given me a couple of things, both of you, Paul and Ray, to, you know, go verify in my own world. I'll do that. I was a little miffed that the logins were tied to an external account. The way mine came up is I have to log in with my Live ID, in my case. I mean, it could be an MSN ID, it could be a couple others, but I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, they asked me to do some Live ID also.
You have a Live ID, and the best part is the password requirements are a little more exacting than some of the others have been. And so as a consequence of that, I've had to, I have a password that I can't remember what the password is, so I have to go back and look at my email for what that might be.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to remember all those. I have almost 100. Of course, some have been deleted, but I keep them as a reference in the manual book where I put down username, passwords, emails. Sometimes the username is your email. And I have about 6 email accounts. I just set up for Google something on my devices. I had to establish myself with Google. What's it called with that diamond on there? And you have to do a shopping bag or something. So now I have a password at Gmail, an email at Gmail with a password.
Yeah, I have one of those too. In fact, my Gmail account, it's my call sign with a 1 after it, because I can't have my call sign. I think it is with a 1 after it. I think it's too short. The other, my live is my call sign. That's my ID, but it's not necessarily my, you know, the password and stuff. It's a pain in the ass, though. Don't need all this extraneous stuff, but anyway, it is what it is. All right. Anybody else have any Windows 8 observations?
Gordon, just as a comment, you had some noises again on your signal, like a squeal and then a putt-putt sound.
Okay, is it gone now?
No, you have like a little, like somebody tapping on your mic.
Sounds like RF feedback.
Oh, I hear that. I hear it too. I don't know what that is. Actually, fed back through the speaker. I can actually hear that. All right, well, I'll be mindful of it. This is the dining room / kitchen 2-meter radio that we keep in here to just get a quick access to the radio. In fact, the antenna is a quarter wave. It's mounted on top of the back of the refrigerator, behind all the usual things that are on top of a refrigerator. Hi. But we mounted this underneath the cabinetry years ago, and it's been useful for us. Anyway, so let's move this along. Just to recap, Windows 8 looks a lot like an Android or a Windows desktop. If you've seen the Windows Mobile type desktop where you have tiles or even like an Apple desktop. The difference is that their icons can be alive. They can actually animate the icons with data. So you could, they have these active icon things, which are pretty cool, which makes me wonder about the concern about this thing being, being single-threaded based on focus. So we'll have to test that. I think that's going to be my first thing, and then I'll check some of the driver things. I don't have a touch screen on the computer where it is, and I'm not thinking that Windows 8 is going to be a pleasant experience on my very old CS29 Toughbook. So I think we'll pass on that. Anyway, anybody else? Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Paul, thank you for raising the subject, and Ray, thank you for contributing to it. Any other subjects people would like to raise?
2EIR comments.
Oh, go ahead.
You'll have to excuse me. I've been here all net or half here. I fell asleep. My eyes been closed, but it seemed to me I was listening the whole net. Still, I couldn't tell you too much about what you talked about. Let me just comment about the antenna launchers, the wrist rocket type things. I wanted to get one, and I found out, and I thought I'd just buy a slingshot, and then I found out you can't buy a slingshot in New York. Then I found out you couldn't buy, no one would ship me a wrist rocket, the antenna ones, if it was coming to New York, at least of the places I tried. I went over to Paramus and found out that New Jersey had the same law. You couldn't get anything that could be construed to be a slingshot. And I finally ordered something that was meant for throwing tennis balls for dogs, and it's really just the old wrist rocket thing, no fishing reel for the line. That's something you probably can add yourself. So if somebody still wants one and is in one of the states where it's illegal, you probably can get the dog throwing, ball throwing.
and I forgot the name of it, but I still have the box around, so if somebody wants to ask me, I'll tell them. There is also, let me just let this reset quickly. There is also one of these compressed air launchers. There's some club in the Midwest, and I don't remember what state, but again, I probably have a bookmark in Windows in the other room, that will sell you their launcher, which apparently is fairly effective, but been simplified, and they give you the valve and the whole business for $35, and I think with shipping, what they ask for is $50. So somewhere between $45 and $50, you get a fairly effective launcher, and they have YouTube videos so you can see what it's all about beforehand, and the videos were, of course, very impressive in terms of what they've been able to do, what people can do with them. So I just thought I'd mention that about antenna launches. Thank you, Gordon, K2EIR. Oh, and I will comment about your present rig. I think, notwithstanding the strange noises, which do sound like RF feedback of one variety or another, or a capacitor sort of going squirrely, it probably has the best audio on this HT, which I'm using, of any of the rigs that I typically hear you on. Your audio is about the same level as Ray's, for example. It's stable, it's clear, it's crisp. RF is full quieting. So much for that. W2TTT, this is K2EIR.
Okay, thanks for that, Howie. Yeah, very well, maybe. I don't think I have a whole lot of stray RF around here, so it might be just a loose connection on the microphone that gets allows that to happen. It might be a loose ground or something because of the multi-pin, I think it's a 6-pin, or a 4-pin cable, crimp type, you know, RJ45 or something, that might be coming, you know, just a little loose over time. Alrighty. Regarding the launcher, Barra members, various ones, Tony, Noel, Jim Joyce, all have made these wonderful launchers. So keep that in mind, too. And you'll find that they've made a variety of them, everything shooting from dowels to tennis balls to the mini tennis balls like the dogs use, like probably what you have found in your air launcher that you could buy, or the slingshot, I should say, that you bought for the tennis balls. It is amazing how we live in some of the most amazing nanny states, isn't it? Anyway, years ago, I remember, maybe 20 years ago, reading an article from a guy who, old fellow from our town, he used to write for a local paper. He described how he would climb a tree. He threw his books on the front porch of his house and climbed a tree and could see the whole neighborhood across the town, see the church steeples, all that good stuff. And he wanted to bring a sprig down. So he reached in his pocket, pulled his pocket knife out, and cut the top of the tree off, and grabbed his hand and climbed back down. And I thought about it. He had had his pocket knife in his pocket all day at school, and he was not a criminal, and he didn't stab anybody, and he didn't get into trouble. My, my, how times have changed. Are they really better? I wonder sometimes. I do know that when I was a kid, I could not bring a knife to school. Probably not where I was in grammar school, just because I seem to remember they had a no-knife policy. So I had, a plastic knife with my lunch that I brought from home. And I wasn't dinged for it, but it was taken away from me at lunchtime because I brought a knife from home from some nanny state school. But, I did think about it. The guy had his pocket knife and capable of cutting a decent-sized sprig of a pine tree off from the top. And it is kind of amazing. So that and air launchers and slingshots and wrist rockets and all these other things. No one, and then they wonder why kids don't go outside anymore. Oh, dear. All right. Enough of that. Anybody else? KTBAR.
I just have to get in with a question because you can answer it, Gordon. My favorite knives growing up were my Cub Scout knife and my Boy Scout knife. You know, it had the screwdriver blade and the awl and the regular blade. Do the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts still have those knives?
Yes, they do. Most Scouts do not get them, however. They tend to get Leatherman or Gerber or something like, or Fiskars type multi-tools these days. At least in my trip, that seems to be the pattern. But that could be an emulation issue.
Roger. Thank you. K2EIR.
I will say this. About 5 years ago, I was given one of those Boy Scout knives, a commemorative version that had a kind of like molded into it artwork depicting various scouting scenes, and it was given to me as a thank you for being the scoutmaster for three boys who had all made Eagle. The youngest boy gave me that as a thank you gift at his Eagle Court of Honor, and I was really touched. I don't carry it every day, but I do have it, and I often use it. I actually will use it with the boys in the troop if I need an extra knife, not so much on an outing, but when we're doing indoor work, and, you know, I'll give it to them, here, please sharpen this, and then use it, please, because you've used it, blah, 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 but, you know, it makes it, I don't want to get abused in the field, but I'll bring it to troop meetings, let them use it, happily and cheerfully. I keep it on my desk, so that way if I don't have a knife on me, which is rare, because I usually have a multi-tool in my pocket, I can at least grab that and have a couple of basic blades and tools. What's nice about the modern multi-tool is it usually has a couple of files built, faces into it, and also a saw, as well as a serrated blade, a full-size serrated blade, as well as a full-size straight blade. So it's usually got four blades in it that are of substance for various purposes. Over.
Roger. Yeah, a saw would often come in handy and things, but you know, talking about reminiscing in the old days. But when I was about 10, I mean, I always wore blue jeans and I always had a pocket knife. I mean, you know, and I was kind of a squeamish kid a little bit. You know, I don't think I ever cut myself. I never got into any trouble. Yeah, times have changed. K2EIR.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure for the better, but anyway. All righty, everybody. Oh, one last point. The Leatherman Super Tool series is my personal favorite. The Super Tool 300 is kind of on the big side, but I particularly like that. It's got a lot of functionality and a lot of utility all in one very, very handy package. All righty. Let's see. I guess that's all I have at this point. Anybody else have additional topics they'd like to bring up? Alrighty, well, there's our answer. Thank you, everybody. It has been a pleasure to be on the net tonight, and I look forward to working you each again soon. And I am going to need a net control for next Thursday night. I can handle the ones through the holidays, but next Thursday I need somebody to cover for me. So if someone would need to take that under advisement and let me know, I'd really appreciate it. Don't forget to let folks know about the technician class course on the last Friday in December. In Bergenfield, it'll be all day, test session in the evening. And we'll go from there. Godspeed all. Merry Christmas. End of Hanukkah is coming soon, so happy Hanukkah to those who are celebrating Hanukkah currently. And a happy New Year, and don't let the Mayans get you down. K2BAR, W2TTT, off and clear.
Hey, Gordon. Good night, Ray. K2EIR, 73.
Good night.
Good night, guys. Take care. Thanks again. W2TTT.
K6JTT disconnected.
MUQ, KB2TIA. KD2, BOR, KB2TIA.
Yesterday, so tired. I was looking at it at the girlfriend's house, and then I got busy, and she came home, and I left, and it went for, I don't know, $27. I forget exactly what it went for.
Oh, okay, I'll have to check. Mine I ended up paying $49 with shipping. Shipping included, so that was my total cost. More than I wanted to spend, but at least I got it. The one in my house does not work.
Yeah, I messed up on that one, Jolly. Like I said, I'm just so damn tired. I broke my butt yesterday.
Well, it happens. It happens. I looked at mine when it had 2 hours and a few minutes to go. Then I went and watched TV and ended up going to sleep, so I just checked this morning when I woke up and said, congratulations. I knew right away I won.
Yeah, I had a funny feeling you won it when I saw the price. I think it was at $44. I had a feeling you got it.
Yeah, so I'll get it sometime next week. I think it said around the 20th or 21st. Sometimes they come a lot quicker, too. I don't remember where it was. I think California? I'm not sure.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it was California. How's this radio sound with the battery eliminator pack on it?
N1MUQ. It sounds good. I thought you were mobile. There's, you know, there's a lot of static that almost makes it sound like you're mobile, but it could just be the repeater as usual.
Yeah, this repeater is not as bad as it's been, and that meter that I was looking at, I could shoot myself in the butt. It went for $27.
Yeah, how do you think I feel? I spent I spent almost double that.
Yeah, it's coming from Santa Rosa, California.
All right, well, that's cool. At least it's on its way, or it will be. I paid for it with PayPal. I already got his money. When I first started on eBay, I was paying with money orders, so I had to wait, you know, days for the money order to get there. And then they'd mail out the item. So now it's, you know, it's instant pay.
Yeah, that's what I have, is a PayPal account. It just makes it so much easier, you know, it just makes life so easy.
Yeah, it makes it easy to spend money. That's what they want. After a while, they'll increase your amount. They did that to me. And of course, I took full advantage of it.
Yeah, on my girlfriend's computer at home, she's got my eBay site set up. And right underneath of it on the icon, it says Rocky's eBay. And it says, watch out for bids and offers.
Yeah, okay, very good. All right, well, I just wanted to come down here. I was hoping you were on. I wanted to tell you that I did win it. Now I have to figure out how to set it up in my car since I'm using two separate antennas through a duplexer. So I guess I would set it up before the duplexer or, you know, right at the duplexer, go in with the radio, out to the duplexer, and then out to the two antennas so it monitors them. But anyway, I've got time to worry about that. This radio, I've got to shut off and get it ready to put in the car. The trip to D.C. Have a good day. Talk to you later. Kitty 2POR and 1MUQ.
Okay, very good, y'all. Again, have a safe trip, and maybe I'll talk to you, I guess, on Monday. And 1MUQ, Kitty 2POR at the shop. We'll be monitoring.
All right, keep your ears open. You may hear me on my way down on this machine or the KQ2H. Talk to you later, and 1MUQ is clear.
73. N2, FDU, listening.